Welcome into the inaugural episode of the At Mark Grody Sports Chicago Super Duper Sports Show. Let me give you a little history on the title of this show and perhaps the theme of this show. So my Twitter handle is At Mark Grody Sports, and my colleagues at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and all sports radio station have been known to make fun of me for being the guy at the sports radio station who calls himself At Mark Grody Sports. So I guess that playing on the fact that I consider myself the sportsiest of the sports guys at the sports radio station. So why not have a podcast called the At Mark Grody Sports Chicago Super Duper Sports Show? That's what we are doing. And let me tell you something. I am not going to be alone on this show. There is somebody who is a much bigger deal than I, and his name happens to be Johnny Big Deal. He is live in Iowa, and he joins us now.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Glad to be here. Really excited to do a little segment at the beginning of the show, maybe out throughout the whole show. Very excited.
Johnny Big Deal, you sound great.
I usually go by JBD.
Okay, JBD. You sound great. I can see you stealing the show away from me, but for now, we try to coexist. And we start with a segment called The Questions. Will you please read me the questions, Johnny Big Deal?
Why is Andy Dalton starring at quarterback for the Bears over Justin Fields? And is this the right move by the Bears?
Andy Dalton is starting at quarterback for the Bears for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was the plan that was set forth from the very beginning by Matt Nagy. The blueprint that he had seen was with the Kansas City Chiefs when Alex Smith was the quarterback and a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes was backing him up. They went the entire season with Alex Smith as the quarterback, and it was a successful season for Kansas City. The last regular season game is when Patrick Mahomes played, and the rest is history. We know what happened in year two with Patrick Mahomes. He's perhaps the greatest player in the National Football League right now. So that's what Matt Nagy is going on. He was the quarterback coach / offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs, so he is very familiar with that blueprint, and I think that he thought that would work with the Bears, where you have Andy Dalton as the veteran quarterback and Justin Fields as the backup. What I have seen, though, during training camp is that Justin Fields has closed the gap more than I thought he would, and the coaches aren't saying this, nor are they admitting it, nor would they admit it, but I think he has closed the gap more than they thought he would. So I think Andy Dalton is ahead of Justin Fields in development and knowledge of the offense by a little bit. So I think that's why he is starting. Something of a plan, something of a promise made to a quarterback. Is this the right move by the Bears? I think for this week it is the right move. For week one, I think just because of the knowledge of the offense and because of how good the Rams defense is, that this is the right guy in this game, Andy Dalton, to be the starting quarterback. All bets are off in week two against Cincinnati. But for this week, I'm down with the Dalton. But like I said, we will see after that. What else you got, Mr. Lovin' himself?
How good are the Bears? You know, we're taking a look at them for this season. The first game is coming up. Exactly how good do you think these Bears are to get to the playoffs and beyond?
Well, I think that the last 2 years, the Bears have had identical records in the previous two seasons of 8-8. I have not seen evidence that they are better than that. Now, as you know, Big Voice, the NFL has gone to, or is going to, 17 regular season games this year as opposed to 16. So the Bears will not be 8-8 this year. I do think it's possible that they are a 9-8 team, but I also think that they could be the other way in a game under 500. So because they are just hovering and I haven't seen big improvement for the Bears, I can't pick them much better than 500 as they were the last couple of years. Now, Justin Fields, he's the X factor, man, because part of the reason that I'm saying that the Bears are mediocre or average this year is because it's a lot of the same guys back and the offense simply has not been impactful. There have not been explosive plays for the Bears offense a lot, really, on Matt Nagy's watch, the head coach since 2018. So if maybe we see Justin Fields on the field, he could change that equation. A second year explosion out of somebody like Darnell Mooney Cole Kmet, the second-year tight end out of Notre Dame. Those are guys that if they do take that next step, we could see, again, the calculus change a little bit with the offense. Also, David Montgomery, the running back. Is he going to put forth what he did in the last five games of last season, where he was one of the top five running backs in the league? If that continues, then I think one could expect the Bears to be better and a potential playoff team this year, but I have to see it. So as I'm sitting here right now, the Bears are meh, okay.
All right, who should we look out for to have a breakout season this year on the Bears? And who are some of your biggest concern?
Wow, coming at me hard with these questions. I would say that, well, I just mentioned one of the names, and that's Darnell Mooney, who as a rookie was very good. A fifth-round pick out of Tulane last year. Kind of came out of nowhere, and now we see if he takes the next step. We know that Allen Robinson is the top dog as far as the receivers are concerned, but if Darnell Mooney is to improve over a year that was very good last year, then you might have something. So I will be staring him down and seeing if he is the guy that takes that next jump. A couple other guys, one on offense and then one on defense as well. Cole Kmet, that another guy I mentioned, the second year tight end out of Notre Dame, they simply were not targeting him early in the season, and then they started to, and we started to see the full Cole Kmet. He is a strong, tough, doesn't want to go down type of tight end, and if he picks it up somewhat where he left off last year, then maybe you have something in him. And quite frankly, they're depending on having something good out of him, because he's a second-round pick. Second-round picks are expected to be good. They're expected to be starters. They're expected to play for their respective franchises for a long time. So I think Cole Kmet is definitely a guy that I am going to zero in on to make that jump. Also, Jalen Johnson. He, second-year cornerback, and he's got a lot of responsibilities because Kyle Fuller is gone from last year. But from everybody that I've talked to around the Bears, including Tashawn Gibson, the safety for the Bears, he thinks he's going to be elite, like as in top five type of player in the National Football League. So he's a guy that I'm circling as well. Concerns, I think the offensive line for sure. We've been talking about this forever. They have a 39-year-old guy at left tackle. They have Jermaine Ifedi over on the right side. Both of these guys, Jason Peters, of course, being the left tackle. Both of these guys have been injured a lot in training camp. They haven't played together a lot. So I think that is a justifiable concern for the Bears. Another part is the secondary and the depth that they are dealing with. I talked about Jalen Johnson, how good I think he's going to be. But who's playing alongside of him? It's going to be Kendall Vildor to start the year. He's a second-year guy, fifth-round pick last year, got into five games last year, and was just okay. So is he going to, again, take that next step? I don't know that he's going to lock down that job. He might have to, you know, there might have to be more guys brought in, and I would keep an eye on the depth as well as far as the cornerback position is concerned. And same deal with the nickelback, that since Buster Screen left, there has been nobody that has truly taken over that job. They'd like to see Duke Shelley fit nicely into that spot, but there's no guarantee of it. So yeah, I'd say offensive line and some of those extra secondary pieces are my biggest concerns. Oh, big voice man.
Well, people want to know, Mark, will the Bears defense get back to being as dominant like it was in 2018? Your thoughts?
Wow. I mean, it's now or never, because these guys are, well, not old, they are starting to get older, and you don't want to waste what still is on the surface a very talented group of guys. They were elite in 2018. You could use that word to describe the Bears defense. In 2019 and 2020, not so much. There were way too many explosive plays against the Bears defense. They did not stuff the run like they had in 2018 and to some degree in 2019 as well. There is still questions about health along the Bears defensive line. Danny Trevathan, the starting inside linebacker, is out. They've got Alec Ogletree in next to Roquan Smith, who I think could take the next step to Pro Bowl or even All-Pro, talking about Roquan Smith. Will Eddie Jackson have a rebound year? That's one of the biggest questions, because we talked to him and he was very critical of himself, that he said he didn't tackle well, which was true. He hit a rough rough year tackling. He didn't have one interception. Had a couple taken back on him, but he simply did not have a good year. And this is a guy who set a standard for himself of all pro, one of the best safeties in the league. And now you're not seeing him on those lists. He even said it straight up to us that he has got the proverbial chip on his shoulder. So hopefully he gets back to doing what he does. Same with Khalil Mack, who is healthy this year. Incredibly important that Robert Quinn gets his act together, because he was a non-factor for the big bucks that he was paid last year by the Chicago Bears. So again, I'm giving you a ton of what ifs, but the names are there. If they could get back to playing the way they did in 2018, or the way a lot of these star caliber players are capable of, yeah, you could get a defense that's back in the top five.
All righty, on to the Cubs in baseball. All right, we're looking at this Cubs team. We're thinking, who the hell is Frank Schwindel? And while we're at it, who is Patrick Wisdom? Oh, mighty one.
Oh, man. Oh, the Cubs. My God. Did you know, does anybody know, listening right now, the Cubs, since they traded all those guys that they traded, all the Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, they had a 7-game winning streak recently. Yeah, and nobody really knows. And if you don't care, I totally understand. But who is Frank Schwindel? So, Dirty Frank, Big Frank.
Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank. That's right. The Schwindy City. Frank Schwindel. A guy who, it's really incredible. Because he was sort of symbolic of the punchline that the Cubs became after all those players were traded. Like, oh, who is this Frank Schwindel? Frank Schwindel. So he comes to the Cubs on July 30th, or at least that's when he was called up. He had been dumped by the Oakland A's. And keep in mind, this is like a toiling player, a guy who's 29 years old. He, in August for the Cubs, hit .344, had six homers at 18 RBIs. He just recently had a go-ahead grand slam in a game, 10 home runs with the Cubs. And it's just been pretty amazing what he has done. He's a great story. Seems like a great dude from everybody that I've talked to, and just from watching him as well and hearing him and seeing his interviews and all that kind of stuff. He seems like he's enjoying the ride. Is it real? I have no idea. No unearthly idea. Can he definitely be a placeholder on this team next year when the Cubs are doing whatever the hell it is that they're doing? That is a possibility. Patrick Wisdom. Oh my God. He's 30 years old. Big voice. And guess what? He is a potential candidate for Rookie of the Year. This dude has 25 home runs this year. Patrick Wisdom. And just to stick it in the faces of the St. Louis Cardinals, he came up in the Cardinals organization, is now thriving with the Chicago Cubs. But I can't explain what's going on with the Cubs, nor do I have any idea if any of this is real.
Do you still believe that none of the Cubs' big three, the Baez, the KB, the Rizzo, will return to the Cubs next season? Is that still your thought, almighty one?
Here is my almighty one answer to that question. My answer has actually changed on that, because when last we spoke sports on this here podcast, I thought for sure that none of these parts would want to be with each other again. As in, I thought that Anthony Rizzo would get... I think that all... Just to put it very simply, I thought that Rizzo, Baez, and Chris Bryant, while they love Chicago, and it was legit, and they probably... None of them probably wanted to go. None of them wanted to be traded. Nor did the Cubs truly deep down want to trade them. I think they felt they had to trade these guys. I thought that both parties would be okay, better off without each other, and learn that there is life after one another. That KB would find life in San Francisco to be delightful. That the Cubs would say, yeah, you know what? These guys won us the 2016 World Series, but you know what? It's time for something new. I've changed a little bit, and it's based on, as good as the Cubs have been recently with a 7-game winning streak, they've been god-awful too, with some massive losing streaks, some home losing, attendance is dropping, all of that kind of stuff. I think from a business perspective, I think the Cubs will be very interested in signing one of these guys back. I think the two more likely guys would be Javier Baez, it would be Baez and Rizzo, and not so much Chris Bryant. But I think for the sake of keeping Wrigleyville alive and having guys, or at least somebody that the fans can still be attracted to, I think will become important, because it's been hard to watch, and they simply cannot, the Cubs cannot do what they did in 2012, 13, and 14 leading up to that excellent era of Cubs baseball. They can't let the bottom drop out. out like they did then. It's just impossible. This era, this Cubs fan era is different now since 2015. There's a different expectation, and it is a big market that needs to comport themselves as one. Not only that, but it has become a winning market, and it's not the same old slumpy Cubs fans where they would put up with stuff and make a joke out of it and become the lovable losers. Impossible to do that. So I think that they might bring, or I like to see them bring, one of those guys back, and we'll see what happens.
On to a team that actually matters, Mark, the Chicago White Sox. Are you concerned about all these guys going on the injured list lately, oh font of wisdom?
Well, sir, I think that the only guy that I'm concerned about right now is there the guy that I think you can make an argument for Lance Lynn, but I think that Carlos Rodon is their ace. And the dirty little thing in the back of everybody's minds, if you follow the Chicago White Sox, as great as Carlos Rodon has been, it's been there, like we all know, his somewhat tragic injury history. And I only mean the word tragic in relation to baseball injuries. He's had huge injuries essentially since he was drafted by Kenny Williams and the White Sox as a first round pick. And I was not happy that they even brought him back this year, but he has finally lived up to all of his potential. He's been great, and now he's missing a second start, a second stint on the injured list. He had at one point lost a little bit of velocity. I think he got that back up, but I don't know that the White Sox can do real damage in the postseason if they don't have Carlos Rodon on high. So all of these injuries have been a concern, of course. With Lance Lynn has been on the IL, Lucas Giolito has missed a start, all these dudes. But for the most part, I think that has been more of a maintenance issue than an actual injury issue. But the Rodon thing, that concerns me more than even Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert having missed basically most of the season this year. You cannot get into a situation where the bread and butter of your team all year, the reason you are where you are, the starting pitchers, if they're getting banged up, that is a concern of mine. So circle Rodon and we'll deal with the rest.
How would you line up the Sox rotation in the playoffs? Oh, podcast professor.
All right. Well, I think you know how I feel about Carlos Rodon. He would be my number one. This is assuming health. I would go with Lance Lynn as your number two starter. And then as your three, I would go with Lucas Giolito. And then if there is to be a fourth starter, yes, it would be Dylan Cease. I actually had been juggling between Cease and Keuchel, but Keuchel has pretty much taken himself out of the running with some really bad performances. So no more Dallas Keuchel. I sometimes do worry about Dylan Cease because he can come unraveled out there at times. Yes, he can strike double digits out. He, as everybody says, he's got the best stuff. He's got the best stuff. He's got the best stuff. But sometimes it goes to his head for some reason. He's in his own head, and things can go wrong quickly with him. However, I would put him as my fourth guy.
How about Tony La Russa? Has he been a good manager this year, oh Wisdom Willie?
That's a good question, because for a lot of the season, he was not at times. He made some, I would say, egregious errors throughout this season in terms of, not early on, way back when, not replaying or going to replay review on a play, leaving Matt Foster out to fry and having nobody warming up in the bullpen at one point in time. We all know the issue with the not knowing the rules. I'll give him a little bit of a pass on that because it was probably something that a lot of managers were not sure of. How he handled Yermín Mercedes with the famous 3-0 pitch swinging away by Mercedes. There have been moments where Tony La Russa has not been a good manager. I will say this, though, that going into the postseason, because that has been his bread and butter, that Tony La Russa has become a Hall of Fame manager because of winning World Series and playing in countless playoff games, he knows how that works. And he understands that it becomes a manager's game. It really does. And if he can work his bullpen correctly in the postseason with what will be a more fine point bullpen, where he won't have as many guys from which to choose, I do like Tony La Russa, the postseason manager of the Chicago White Sox. Overall, I think he's just been okay as a manager.
You're listening to At Mark Grody Sports, Chicago's super duper sports podcast. It's now time for something we call Brush with Greatness.
I love telling this story. It was when Shaquille O'Neal was with the Miami Heat, and I, as a reporter covering the Chicago Bulls, against whom the Miami Heat were playing in the playoffs that year, I had a chance, as sometimes we do, to have a media availability at the opposing team's practice, which happened to be at the United Center on this fateful morning. So I watched the Miami Heat practice, and there wasn't a lot of reporters there, to my surprise. And so Shaquille O'Neal was hanging out after practice, and I saw an opening to potentially go talk to him and maybe get a little one-on-one time with Shaquille O'Neal, one of the greatest NBA players of all time. And I walked over to him and I asked, Shaq, you got a couple minutes so we can talk about the series? And he looked down at my big plastic credential and said, "Oh, Mark Rote?" I said, "Oh no, actually it's pronounced Mark Grody is the name. I work for WBBM Radio." He goes, "Oh," he goes, "you're Mark Rote." And so I said, "Okay, fair enough. For these purposes, I will be Mark Grote." On with the interview, you know, asking questions here and there. But then I got to what I really wanted to talk about with him: the fact that he was getting older. It had been noticed that maybe some of his that he wasn't maybe as dominant of a player as he once was, like back in his Orlando Magic days. And I said, "Shaq, look, some people said that you've lost a step, man." And he looked at me and he goes, "You lost a step too, Mark Grote. You're getting older too." And that was my quick interaction with Shaquille O'Neal.
All right, hey, what's up? It's Johnny Big Deal from the Mark Grody Sports Super Duper, whatever they call it. Time for another very exciting segment we like to call Harry from Above. Harry, got some questions for you. Thank you for joining us. Listen, what the hell happened to the Cubs this year?
What the hell kind of a question is that? They traded all their players is what happened. Javier Baez was traded. Tony Rizzo. They got Chris Bryant. The All-American, what a handsome young man, Chris Bryant. And they just got rid of all these guys. Frank Swindell backwards is Patrick Wisdom.
All right, Harry, is there any hope for these Cubs next year?
There's not any hope for them for another century or so. I'm going to stop watching this. This is a bunch of crap from the angle that I have here. I'm never going to watch this team again.
So now, listen, I want to go back to one of the greatest years ever, 1984. What the hell happened there?
Jody Davis, fastest bat. Keith Marlin, the Daily Double. Those guys don't exist. And Larry Boa from Shardstown. The Sarge. I don't know what the hell happened. And Steve Garvey is an asshole.
What about, I have to ask, can you believe Steve Stone is a White Sox broadcaster? Can you believe that he
that guy's got that big cigar protruding from it? What the hell is that's the best he could do is get a job with the White Sox? I don't understand.
Harry,
this
did you
guy.
See? Did you see manager David Ross in Dancing with the Stars?
There's some pretty ladies in there. Pretty ladies and dancing with the stuff. That's something I never would have done in my life. This guy is soft and but the ladies are pretty.
You're listening to the At Mark Grody Sports, Chicago's super duper sports show. It's time now for Whatever Happened To. Today's topic, Kyle Farnsworth.
All right, so Kyle Farnsworth played with the Cubs late 90s into the early 2000s. He was fit. This guy was like as fit as could be. He threw 100 miles per hour when not everybody in the world was throwing 100 miles per hour like they do now. He's known for a few things. He is known for tackling Paul Wilson, like perfect form tackling the former pitcher. He did have a reputation for enjoying himself at the 4 a.m. bars in Wrigleyville, as some players were susceptible to. So that was Kyle Farnsworth. I would say he had an okay career with the Cubs, and okay in general. I mean, he was a pretty good bullpenner. But where is Kyle Farnsworth now, and what has he been up to? So Farnsworth, He tried football, man. He tried out for the Orlando Phantoms, an amateur football team in the Florida Football Alliance. He had not played football since he was a freshman in high school in 1992, and Farnsworth actually made the Phantoms and played, guess what position? Defensive end. That's what Farnsworth played. I mean, we all saw that he was good at tackling. For the 2015 season, he finished the season with 11 sacks. He then played for the Phantoms again in 2016. He also claimed to have received an offer to play professionally, football-wise, that is, in Australia before the league canceled its inaugural season. So, yeah, man, he did what a lot of people thought he should do in the first place, was that that was attempt to play football. It obviously fizzled out ultimately. And I'm glad that we did him, because he was also in the news very recently, was Kyle Farnsworth. And this doesn't surprise me because of his tough guy persona. He tweeted the following. So I just saw that an MLB player didn't play today because of general soreness. Are you kidding me? It's September. Everyone is sore. If you can't play through soreness, you shouldn't be playing the sport. SMH, as in shaking my head. So that's tough guy Kyle Farnsworth. And that's where he is now, thinking about football and tweeting that the rest of Major League are just a bunch of pussies.
You switch the samples.
It's now time for the 2-minute warning. Bears, you got a prediction on this score coming up. What's the score going to be? What do you think?
Well, Johnny, big deal. I do think the Bears are going to lose this game. I do think that the with Matthew Stafford now as the quarterback for the LA Rams, the Rams returning what was a terrific defense last year. If you want to score, I'm going to say 24-14, the Rams win this first game.
Now, what if Ditka was making a prediction? What would it be?
It'd be 115 to -3 Bears. However, David Montgomery would be held under 7 touchdowns.
All right. End of the season coming up. What's your prediction for the Sox coming up in the playoffs? How deep are we going
to
go?
I think that they will make it to the American League Championship Series and lose in the ALCS this year.
Give me the number of 3 classic Cubs first baseman. Billy Buckner.
22.
Mark Grace.
17.
Leon Durham.
10.
What is your favorite dinosaur, Mark?
I have always been partial to Allosaurus because he is the lesser known of the carnivorous dinosaurs, because you've got Tyrannosaurus Rex, who of course hogs all of the headlines. He's great. I love Ty, but Allosaurus, who I do believe came before Tyrannosaurus Rex, there was always something about him. He was like the starter kit for the meat-eating dinosaurs, and then Ty comes along and he's bigger and stronger and devastating, and then all of a sudden
3 condiments that are in your fridge right now, go.
There is barbecue sauce. There is Hellman's mayonnaise, and there is ketchup.
This has been the 2-Minute Warning with Mark Grody.
Well, thank you. We have made it to the end of the inaugural at Mark Grody Sports Chicago Super Duper Sports Show. Thanks for listening. We'll bring it back again soon.